What you missed on The Breakfast Huddle with Elliot Danker, Yasmin Yonkers, and Ryan Huang. Only on Money FM 89.3.
This gentleman who seems to think a lot about what the best way for Singapore would be to grow in a manner, really, Elliot, that is sustainable.
Quite a topic that's close to the heart of our next guest. In fact, he wrote an opinion piece about this for the Straits Times. Get this. 5 years ago, and the issue he feels is still unchanged. Let's chat with Tan Chin Hui, Chief Executive Officer, Asia Pacific of Trafigura Group, one of the world's largest companies in the business of trading physical commodities such as oil, metals, and minerals. He sits on the boards of multiple private and public sector companies, including at Singapore Press Holdings, as a non-executive and independent director. Good morning, Chin Hui. Welcome to the studio.
Good morning.
Good morning. I know you're part of the whole SPH team. I just want to start by saying on Tuesday, we have a blood donation drive here at our lobby at our new center auditorium. And I just want to put it out there that everybody can join us donate blood from 12 p.m. to 5 p.m. Will you be there?
Try.
Trying is the first step.
Nice to know. Okay, so we just handed you an article just to remind you that you wrote this in 2013. The title of it was Growing Wealthy Without Bubbles. Chin Hui, can you elaborate a little on what you meant by that and what prompted you to even write it?
When I wrote this, I was a fund manager. I was managing money. That was before I joined the corporate world. Mm-hmm. So as a fund manager, you get to see a lot of data.
Yeah.
Right, all over the world, right? And it's quite obvious to me sitting in Singapore that the whole world, not just Singapore, but US and UK and other countries are going through a decision sooner or later on policy trade-offs.
Okay.
So I think I must emphasize that these are not mutually exclusive, right? Whether you have an income-driven economy model or asset-driven economic model.
Sure.
Right? But as we know, in many economies, there are policy trade-off, and which one is better at certain point of time will determine the next few years. As you just now said about GDP numbers, right, I would suggest that GDP numbers is not the only measure of success.
Mm.
I think this is something that many countries has fixated, right? That even for me as a person who can count, I would like to say that not everything that can be counted should be counted.
Okay.
Right? In this case, I would suggest that the government has been doing a great job, but the asset pricing have gone up in the last 5 years in a significant manner. And our government has find ways, just like the fine-tuning not long ago that we have seen in the real estate market.
Yep.
I think this is the right move. Well, because there are trade-offs, right? What do you want to have for the people and the citizens of the country?
Yeah. Okay. Chin Hui, our guest today, is also an adjunct professor in a number of universities, and he's an advisory board member of the Shanghai Advanced Institute of Finance.
Chin Hui, I'd like to ask, what does sustainable growth mean to you? And in your opinion, where is Singapore now?
I think the country's leaders realize that this is very important. I think the rise in the property markets was cited as unexciting for a while until the last bigger jump. Well, people always cited Hong Kong as one example where it's a more exciting market, but exciting at what expense, right? The people who benefit from the asset rises are fewer, or if in a society like Hong Kong, which is even wider and wider now in the Gini coefficient. So for the country, I think the leaders and the citizens have to decide what is important for Singapore and what is the yardstick. Right? As we continue to talk about the GDP numbers, what are the things that we can talk about as well? Right? How can we make it sustainable? I found out as I started social work when I was in NTU with my wife and in Salvation Army,
yeah,
that for many of the people, it is actually not what is said or what is written. Right? It's what they believe. Right? If you can change their belief of the less privileged citizens or residents, that they have skin in the game, right? This is also their country, right? They will not be missed by all this bubble, right? They have a chance to have a sustainable income,
mm-hmm.
maybe not high income, but sustainable, mm-hmm. that they can bring home bacon to their family in an honourable and decent way. I think then we have achieved something as a society, right? As Margaret Thatcher has rightly pointed out, there's no such thing as a society.
Mm-hmm.
Right? There are people, there are families, there are lives, right? So when we think about policies and as we progress from this transition, as the country has rightly pointed out now, how should we embrace the fellow citizens as one country?
Okay. Chinwe, I can't wait to talk about your social work. We'll keep that for just a while, but I have one more question before we get to that. You mentioned that Singapore has moved from an income-driven community to one that is a wealth consumption model. Can you perhaps elaborate on what the problems are with that, and when, at which point, does it become unhealthy?
If you read the article in 2013, I have pointed out a few warning signs, and that was 5 years ago. For example, low or negative real interest rate, falling savings among households, even when there's good GDP numbers, and growing interest from non-resident in owning the country assets, meaning buying real estate, for example, rather than buying productive income-generating businesses like my company, Trafigura moved our HQ to Singapore. So I think there are warning signs. That was 5 years ago, and of course today, on hindsight, we have low negative interest rate, we have falling savings among the pensioners, and foreigners have been buying up the property. But I just want to emphasize, though, again, there's a trade-off. I think what we did, maybe we have opened up the economy a little bit faster than when it's ready. So you saw the challenges in the transportation, you saw the challenges in the asset prices. Now it's unthinkable. For $2,000 square feet for a 99-year property, it was unthinkable. It was not long ago, it was just a $1,000 benchmark. So I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but the society has to make a decision. What is good for us? How should we take care of the others who are left behind?
Speaking of taking care of others.
Yeah, social work. It's one of your pet projects, and you were voted as one of the emerging top 40 absolute return investors in the world, and you were named as the best Asia credit hedge fund manager. Now, you've moved on from not just investing in markets, but investing in people. Chinwe, I'd like to ask, what drives this passion to invest in people, and what have you been busy with?
This investment in people is not new to me. As I said, I really started doing social work with my girlfriend and now my wife at NTU. So it is not a norm. I will just say that it is what is a more different path was that I've always been a square peg in a round hole in the financial world. Even though you could once say that I have been successful. That was why when I retired from the financial world, the South China Morning Post published my retirement letter. People were surprised. A person like me who, on paper, looks very comfortable in finance, why will continue to be in finance. I will just say that I have never forgot where I come from. Without the scholarship I have with my siblings, we will never be where we are. We actually stay very near here in a one-bedroom HDB flat.
You grew up in Toa Payoh.
So I've never forgotten that. And I just want to be an example to my children. I just want to lead by example. So Gandhi always said, be the change you wish the world to be. So I just want to show them that happiness and contentment are more important values in life rather than just money and buying a bigger car or getting a bigger house. I think it's what it is. Each one have your own choice. I choose to decide after 21 years in finance that this is something that we should focus on, we must be the person we want to be, as I said, so that we can inspire our kids.
Okay. Speaking of inspiring kids,
You've got a very strong value system. And it just got me curious. Chinwe, who is the person that inspires you to now inspire your kids?
I think there are many people, you talk about people like Gandhi, you talk about people like Mother Teresa, even from the Bible, Jesus, So all these has extraordinary effort, I was just reading about Martin Luther King, and there was I was just thinking through my mind, if he has not passed on 50 years ago, how would the world be? Why would he be challenging Trump now? And would all these tensions that we have be there or not be there? I'm just asking theoretical intellectual questions this. And of course, as you know, I have a very boring job, so I sometimes think about things like this.
Can you imagine if Martin Luther King teamed up with Nelson Mandela?
Wouldn't that be cool?
Yeah. Well, we're speaking with Tan Chin Hui, Chief Executive Officer, Asia Pacific of the Trafigura Group. Just before we go to traffic, I want to ask you, because you keep talking about your kids, and I know a lot of mums and dads are driving at this time of the morning. What are the values that you're imparting to them, or the lessons that you're imparting to them you think that are so important for the future of Singapore?
I think there are many values, but one of the things which I try to experiment, because I have three of them, is the resilience. Right. That's right. Is a yardstick of success, I would suggest it's resilient. And of course, there are many, many yardsticks, but certainly it's not grades. Right. It certainly is not getting 4 A's or straight A's. Right. It has very clearly pointed out the straight A's students today are not in the CEOs or multinational companies or in the hedge funds or private equity. Right. So, but I think we just need to evolve. Right. What else can we bring the society and the people like the younger folks up in this uneasy world, right? Yeah. Because the world now is being disrupted, right? So I think this is something that I spend time thinking about.
Yeah, and you make them do housework.
But it's nothing new. I'm sure a lot of family do housework with the children as well. So I think it's not a big deal. I just want to live as normalized as possible. No. We don't have a helper. But so what? I think a lot of citizens don't have a helper either, right? So we just want them to be independent.
We've learned quite a bit so far about Tan Chin Hui, Chief Executive Officer, Asia-Pacific of Trafigura Group, his value system, what he thinks about. But I wonder how he manages his passion for football with all of this. This is a thinking man. So we'll get his opinion on his love for football. And he was in Russia recently for the World Cup as well.
And you caught, was it the opening match of the World Cup?
No, I watched the Russia play. The country itself. It was a very good experience.
Who was the opponent for Russia?
Was Spain.
It was Russia. Yeah, Spain.
That's why Spain
Hello.
Is pain.
they did in a penalty shootout. Russia won, right?
Yes.
So you had a good 120 minutes, that one.
Oh, yes, good value.
That was a good game. 78,011 spectators were there.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay. And I saw a photo of you because you wrote an op-ed in the Straits Times after that visit to Russia. You were wearing the Singapore jersey and Singapore flag.
That's correct.
That stadium. What made you do that? Because you just wanted to identify yourself as a Singaporean amid all the tall Russians? I don't know.
I'm always proud to wear the Singapore flag, right, everywhere I go. Right? So to me, I thought it's quite fun. But that jersey that I wore had the four stars. Of course, it's a different kind of stars, right? The four stars were for the Southeast Asia game. Right? I remember bringing my son to welcome the team back from the airport. Right, and that is my way to impart, since we talk about children, impart his love of his country, right, so in a practical manner. So I thought, why not, I have other jerseys, right, but this is it's rare. And I get is this Singapore? Right, and of course, Singapore, but if you like to add the word seriously, right, that is another question mark, right, but why not? Right, people are wearing all the jersey of the countries that are participating.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I say, why not?
Yeah. But you're also a big Liverpool fan, yeah?
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah.
How long have you supported Liverpool?
I'm long-suffering.
I don't think you have to suffer much longer.
We'll see. So after the game, where the goalkeeper saved a number of penalties, the people were texting me, hey, Liverpool should buy this goalkeeper because he has done a great job.
Right? Yeah. Right.
But I think more importantly, I just want to say, because of the work that I do, we are in 70 countries, right? We have offices in 70 countries, right? I appreciate a little bit more about cultures,
okay.
Right? A little bit more. I will say that there have been stereotypes from Hollywood movies about how Russia people are.
Yeah, spies. Nerve agents and all that.
Right, it's always winter in Russia.
But I just wanted to say that it is also partially true that the Russians had a culture where they generally don't smile at strangers.
Okay.
Right, because they think that there's something wrong with your mind, right? Yourself, right? The Hokkien say. But this time around, right, then you could see that they're actually opening up, right? I even had a smiling policeman taking a picture with me, right? So that transition, I think it's not easy, but the game itself, I would say that Russia is the biggest winner, right, by opening up the country and showing the country what they can do. Right, it's a very intellectual and a very cultural country. Right, so this is something I appreciate after being there and doing business with them and getting to know the people. Right, this is something that I thought I just write an article just to tell my side of the story.
Yeah. Which city was the Russia-Spain match?
I just stayed at the Moscow.
Oh, that was in Moscow. Francisco, because this World Cup, of course, has been hosted in cities that were really deep in the heart of the Soviet communist era that took the longest times to even open up to the rest of the world. Moscow, of course, has always been the capital, and you know, they're the most international. And at the World Cup this year, we've seen a few teams punching above their weight. I mean, we can name Iceland, Croatia, even
Croatia,
I should say. They have a population of about 4 million people. That's just under us here in Singapore. What do you suppose our country can learn from these that have punched above their weight and at an international stage, sporting wise, Chin Hui?
There are many things, right? Again, it is how we as in parents and the society, right? Because both needs to work hand in hand. I remember going to the Youth Olympic Games. We do have a winning team, the bronze medalists, right? I was with my family. My children were cheering loudly for the 15 years olds. Well, can you imagine 7 years, 8 years later, they are still playing together? And this is not rocket science, because you look at England. When I look at England, they revamped their whole team. Right? They basically asked each player to play in the same position as one team throughout their teenage life. Right? If you look at the current England team today, you may not recognize many of the players. Right? They are not like the
biggest
Messi
household names.
Some did not even play a lot of club football.
True,
but yet they play as a team. Right? The football with 11 person, why is actually a team game, right? So there's also a myth, right, that our players are not tall enough, right? I would like to say that having a mix around with some of the footballers, right, that you'll be surprised that they are not much taller than us. Right? Continuo, for example, is only 1.73, right? I think Elliot is already taller than
Coutinho.
You should play for Liverpool.
Chin Hui, don't be angry at me, because I know you're on the SPH board, but I'm a Man U fan.
No problem. But the more important thing is what Lionel Messi said, right? He said before, goals are only important if they win games. Something we also learned, that the possession football, you just play in your own half, at the end of the day, you still have to score. Something that I could understand when I was a fund manager, is highly meritocratic, and you're can get paid if you make money.
Yeah.
As simple as that.
Wow. It's been such a pleasure welcoming you here in the studio. Tan Chin Hui, Chief Executive Officer of Asia Pacific at Trafficura Group. Can you tell us where you'll be watching the World Cup this Sunday? Is it too late for you and your family?
No, certainly. No, with my children. I think the last World Cup is only my son, but now my two girls are old enough. So certainly in Singapore, a lot of people was asking me why I'm not there. I have the tickets, but I would like to make it a memorable time with my children, just like my father did. My first World Cup was 82. I could never forget about the 82 World Cup, because my father watched with me. So and every 4 years as well. So this is something I hope that memories and experience like this will stay with them forever.
Talk about alternative investments.
I completely relate to that. My first World Cup, my father watched it with me. Same feeling. Well, thank you very much for coming by the studio. We've been speaking to Tan Chin Hui, Chief Executive Officer Asia Pacific of Trafigura Group.